treat today. Peter Shickley's my guest. Peter, who discovered PDQ Bach. Wonderful composer. Classical composer and very funny fellow, Peter Shickley. It's Knock on Wood, I'm Steve Charney. I wonder how many shows I'm actually going to end up doing. I wish I could peer into the future. At what point will I stop? You know, will I someday be saying, hey, 5,042, 10,083. Or maybe, who knows, maybe this might be my last show. You never know. That's the interesting thing about the future. You can't predict it. Who knows at what point I'll wake up one morning and just go, I've had it, I'm done. Or maybe I never will. Maybe I'll just keep going. If I'm 65, 75, 85, probably run out of ideas long before that. Well, we do have some ideas today to present to you. Harry's going to be in to help me present them. We also have Woody Allen. Let's see, we have Stan Freberg coming up. I don't know, might do a strange fact segment if I have time towards the end. We're going to start off with Parachute Express. We haven't played them for a while. Parachute Express, well, they're on Disney's Music Box. So, you know, they've got powerful friends in powerful places. They're pretty talented, though. This one is called Fantasy Automobile. It's always been one of my favorites of theirs.
It's no time for hesitation.
Jump start your imagination.
Oh, won't you climb on in?
So we can take a spin.
Uh-huh.
Get in your car. Keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel of your brand new fantasy automobile.
Here's a beauty over here. You might want to take it for a spin.
Oh, can we go?
Feel the leather soft and fine.
Tell yourself this car is mine.
And when the door is shut,
don't forget to buckle up.
That's real important.
Get in your car, put on your seatbelt. Keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel of your brand new automobile.
I think once you drive this thing, you're gonna love it.
Oh, I love it already.
Me too. Right about now, you'll agree.
The time has come to turn the key.
And while you're doing that,
step down on the gas.
But not too hard.
Oh, like this?
Get in your car. Put on your seatbelt, step on the gas. Keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel of your brand new fantasy automobile.
I noticed the three-speed windshield wipers.
Now we're ready, it's time to cruise.
Ram the engine, zoom, zoom, zoom.
And when the
slip it into gear.
Don't grind them.
Get in your car. Put on your seatbelt. Step on the gas. Slip it in gear and go. Keep your eyes on the road and your hands on the wheel of your brand new fantasy automobile.
Here's yours for a song. Take a reliever.
Yeah.
Nice couple.
Isn't that a pretty song? Parachute Express. Well, it's Knock on Wood. I'm Steve Charney. Let me tell you what I did last night. A lot of people always hit me with this. I decided to finally rent it. The movie Magic. You know, the movie, it's about that ventriloquist who goes crazy and his dummy takes him over. I'll tell you, it's such a powerful concept that when people hear that I'm a ventriloquist, one of the first things they usually ask me is if I saw that movie. Or remember the Twilight Zone episode that has the same theme? Well, don't worry. As a ventriloquist, I'm quite sane. Okay, there's no question about Harry taking me over or anything like that. I'm just having fun with him, that's all. I just want to make that clear. Occasionally, I like to say this to the listeners so people don't think, you know, I'm a little nutty. Never for a second should you think that it's any more than that. In this radio show, I try to entertain you by making him appear as real as possible. That's the fun part of Knock on Wood.
Yeah, right, Steve.
So I think that all those people... Wait a second, hold it. What's that supposed to mean?
What? Never mind.
No. I detected a certain note of sarcasm in your voice.
You did?
Yeah. That's the way you said it. Yeah, right, Steve.
All right, you want me to say what's on my mind?
Yes, I do.
Well, I can understand you wanting to convince the listeners that you haven't lost your marbles. I mean, you know, it might jeopardize your job and all. Not to mention that no parent is going to want their kid listening to a nut. But let's face the facts, Steve. I'm controlling you.
Oh, man, I don't believe I'm hearing this. How can you say that?
Well, for one thing, if I really was just a character that you had control over, well, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now.
Uh-huh. Okay, Mr. Smart Guy, as of now, this conversation is over. I'm ignoring you.
Steve, you have to have this conversation with me. You have no choice.
What do you mean I have no choice? Of course I have a choice.
No, you don't.
Why not?
Because I'm controlling you.
That's ludicrous.
If it's so ludicrous, why are you still talking to me?
That's it. As of now, I'm changing the subject.
Good luck.
So anyway, I'm just as sane as anyone out there. This is my point. So don't think that my ventriloquist act is any more than mere entertainment. And maybe now we'll hear a recording.
Mm-hmm.
I think we'll hear... Hey, wait, what's that mm-hmm supposed to mean?
Nothing, just mm-hmm.
Well, I don't like you going around saying mm-hmm like that.
Hey, I can say mm-hmm if I want. It's a free country.
Well, it's the way you say it that bugs me.
By the way, Steve, I hope you noticed that you're conversing with me again.
You know, you think you're pretty smart, don't you?
I just tell it the way I see it.
The way you see it, the way you tell it. You're a dummy, Harry. You don't see, you don't hear. You're a doll, you're a puppet. You're a figment of my imagination.
Yeah. Right, Steve.
There we go with the yeah, right, Steve again. Will you quit doing that?
Yeah. Right, Steve.
All right, I'm now going to prove to the listeners that you don't have any control over me. This conversation is over. And now we're going to hear a recording. This, by the way, is Knock on Wood. I am Steve Charney. We're going to hear Woody Allen now. During his stand-up years. By the way, I hope you people out there noticed that Harry hasn't said anything for the last minute. That's because I have effectively kept him quiet. And the reason for that is because this is not the movie Magic. It is not a Twilight Zone episode. This is just good old Steve entertaining you on the radio. Here, I'll prove it. Harry? 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 See? He doesn't answer because I don't want him to. Here, I'll even push him. There, see? He just sits there like a lump of wood because he's a doll. He's a ventrilocial figure. He's just made of wood, and I think I finally proved my point. Here, I'll push him again. See? Nothing. He doesn't say anything, and he doesn't do anything. I'll push him one more time. See? He's inanimate. Now.
Hey! What? Oh! Harry! What are you doing?
I just pushed you back, Steve. That's all.
Listen to this. I was watching one night the Ed Sullivan show, and Sullivan had on a hypnotist called the Great Rinaldo. And Rinaldo got four guys out of the audience and he hypnotized them. And he said to them, "You think you're a fire engine." And I'm home watching and I get drowsy and I fall asleep. And I wake up an hour later, I turn the set off. And suddenly I'm seized with an uncontrollable impulse to dress up in my red flannel underwear. Which I do when I'm looking at myself in the mirror. And suddenly the phone rings. I burst out the front door and start running down Fifth Avenue fast, making a siren noise. At 14th Street, I hit a guy at an intersection who was also wearing red flannel underwear. We decided to work as one truck. We start running down to the Village. Suddenly two guys in red flannel underwear pass us running uptown. We figure they must know where the fire is. We turn and follow. At 86th Street, a cop flags us down because there's four guys in red flannel underwear running up the street. He says, "You're coming down to headquarters. Get into the car." And I start giggling hysterically because this jerk is trying to get a fire engine into a lousy little Chevy. You know? And down at the station house, there's hundreds of guys in red flannel underwear. I should just add, parenthetically, these stories are true. These things actually happen to me. I don't make them up. My life is a series of these crises that came on one night some months ago, and I went to the closet in my bedroom, and a moth ate my sport jacket. It was laying on the floor nauseous, you know? It's a yellow and green striped jacket, you know? Little fat moth laying there, groaning, you know? Part of the sleeve hanging out of his mouth. I gave him two plain brown socks. I said, "Eat one now and eat one in a half hour."
My friends, it is my great pleasure to have in the studio once again Peter Schickley. Peter, thanks so much for coming by. And
it's always a pleasure.
Singing a song for us. We're sitting at the Knock on Wood piano. Peter's going to get to it pretty soon, but I wanted to ask you a few questions.
Wait, Steve. I just want to say that I love Peter Schickley, and it's so good that he's on the show.
Oh, well, that's very nice. That's a mutual admiration society here.
Oh, shucks, yeah.
These two are good friends. They usually try to squeeze me out. Peter, you won Grammys and stuff. I mean, you're like really up there, aren't you? You're like famous.
Well, you see, I have this sort of addiction to discovering the music of this long-lost composer, P.D.Q. Bach, who I maintain is the last and certainly the least of Johann Sebastian Bach's, the great Bach. He's the 21st of Bach's 20 children. But, you know, there's a lot of controversy about that. If you look up P.D.Q. Bach in your average music dictionary, you won't find him there because a lot of people feel that I made him up. And I think that's ridiculous, don't you, Harry?
Peter, if you say that he's not made up, then those people are nuts. They don't know what they're talking about.
I know. You know.
This is a truthful man. He's an honest man.
That's right. But I have put out a bunch of recordings of P.D.Q. Bach's music, and yes, four of them, as a matter of fact, have won Grammys, so it just goes to show you the state of arts in this country.
Yeah.
Looking at Harry, he looks a little peaked. Yeah, well, do you have days, like when you're out there working with Steve, are there some days where everything goes wrong?
Oh, boy. Suddenly he starts making me talk. He forgets what I sound like. I start sounding like Charlie McCarthy with a bad cold.
Oh, really?
It's terrible. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's a lousy ventriloquist. His lips are moving like crazy. No one knows who's making who talk.
Right. Oh, I guess that's why you work on radio so much, huh?
That's why we like radio. It's a nice safe medium.
Right.
Nice safe medium. I don't know how...
Well,
Peter, you don't have that problem, obviously.
Well, I do, actually. I have days when nothing goes right, and this is a song about one of those days. It's been one of those days that starts off bad. Toothpaste fell in the toilet, and my wife, she woke up mad. It's been one of those days I wish had not begun. For 2 cents I'd forget it. In fact, just might forget it for one. If it ain't one darn thing, it's another. If it ain't my mother-in-law, it's my mother. Gonna pack it all in. Well, the car wouldn't start, but I stayed cool, 'cause it had a flat tire anyhow, and the spare was in the pool. And the pool is in my neighbor's big backyard. And my neighbor ain't too friendly since my German Shepherd went and ate his arm. If it ain't one darn thing, it's another. If it ain't my mother-in-law, it's my mother. Gonna pack it all in. Well, it's getting late, so I took the train. Some hoodlums broke the windows, and of course it started to rain. So when I got to work, I had me a real nice cough. And my boss comes up and tells me I would have had my raise if I wasn't being laid off. If it ain't one darn thing, it's another. If it ain't my mother-in-law, it's my mother. Gonna pack it all in. When I got back home, nobody was there. The cat was in the garbage and the sink was clogged with hair. And that dog of mine had chewed up all the mail. And I noticed bubblegum on the telephone when my oldest daughter called up from jail. If it ain't one darn thing, it's another. If it ain't my mother-in-law, it's my mother. If it ain't one darn thing, it's another. It's my mother. Gonna pack it all in. Gonna pack it all in. Gonna pack it all in.
Great.
Now, was that classical music or country? Where do you put that? Blues?
Boy, Harry, where do you put that? Some people have told me where to put it, but I wouldn't call it classical music myself. No, I would call that sort of like a folk song, except that in this case, we know the folk who wrote it.
Yeah, so it's not P.D.Q. Bach.
That's
funny. That's great. You could just keep writing verses for something like that.
I know, right. As the days come and go.
Yes. Peter Schickley's my guest here on Knock on Wood. He's doing some goofy stuff on the Knock on Wood piano. Well, Harry, what do you think?
I thought it was great. I hope Peter comes back. What can I say? He could take over the show from you, Steve. Maybe I could sit on his lap and he could make me talk instead of you.
I don't know. Yeah,
a very forward guy there.
Well, listen.
Next time I come on the show, I'm bringing a chaperone, Harry.
Thanks a lot, Peter.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are about to hear an actual hypnotic interview. The subject for the experiment is Miss Goldie Smith, age 23. The next voice you hear will be that of the hypnotist Stan Freeberg as he attempts to regress her back to her childhood.
Deeper and deeper and deeper sleep. Look at the candle I'm holding in my hand.
Look at the wax you're dripping on my dress.
May I point out, you're breaking the trance.
May I point out, I just got it back from the cleaners.
Here, here. Don't be impertinent to the hypnotist. Know your place. Now we're going back in your life. Back, like the pages in a book. And when I next talk to you, you will be a little child. Now you're a little child, and you were able to answer my questions. Just rest and relax. Do you go to school?
Mm-hmm.
Who sits in front of you?
Nobody. I pinch.
I see. How old are you?
What could I be? What? 7, 8?
All right. Do you have a favorite subject?
Music.
I see. Music appreciation?
Yeah, I appreciate Stan Kenton, Brubeck.
All right.
Shorty.
All right, just rest and relax.
Weekends, I play flugelhorn, like.
Let me point out, you're under oath here.
Don't knock it, I got a great lip.
I'm not knocking it.
Like.
I'm not knocking it. But now we're going back through time and space, back to another life.
Who's blowing harp there, man?
To another life. And when I next talk to you, you will be in some other time, in some other place, and you will be able to answer my questions. Now, what is your name?
Bridie.
Bridie what?
Hammerschlagen.
We interrupt here to point out that Goldie Smith's real name is not Bridie Hammerschlagen. It is Goldie Smith.
What is the year you live in?
280.
Where do you live?
2 miles from Rome, out of the high rent district.
Yeah, I see. And what do?
I'm an usherette at the Colosseum. Keep moving, please. Don't block the gladiators. Immediate seating in the lion pits.
How's that?
Weekends, I make book on the chariot races.
Yeah, I beg your pardon?
Ben Hur looks good in the fifth.
All right. Now, what is the name of, you say Ben Hur looks good in the fifth?
Believe me.
Oh, what am I talking about? Chariot racing is extinct.
Don't tell Ben Hur. He just bought wire wheels.
All right. We have time for one more regression. Look into my eyes.
No, you look into my eyes.
What's that?
Deeper and deeper sleep.
Yeah.
You're going back to another life in some other time. Now, what is the year you live in?
1836.
What is your name?
Davy Crockett.
Too bad you won't be alive to cash in on the royalties from the Davy Crockett hats.
How do you know? In my next life, I may be Walt Disney.
Stan Freeberg. That's from an album, The Best of Stan Freeberg. He was quite well known on the radio. Yeah, also does very well doing commercials. A lot of very funny commercials were created by him. And it is Knock on Wood. I'm Steve Charney. Harry's here. I'm thinking of doing
what, Steve?
For our next vacation, I think we should go up to the Great Lakes.
The Great Lakes. I've been there. They're not so great.
They aren't?
Well, they may be good lakes or fair lakes, but great? I don't think so, Steve.
You don't think Lake Superior is great?
Not only don't I think it's great, I don't even think it's superior. They should change its name to Lake Inferior. Now, that would be a good name for it. Lake Inferior.
Well, what about Lake Huron?
Well, call it Lake You're Off.
I'm off what?
You're off your rocker.
I bet you a dollar that that lake is a great lake.
You're on! I mean, you're off! I mean, never mind.
Lake Nevermind? I don't think they have that one.
Well, they should.
What about Lake Michigan? You don't like that lake?
Lake Michigan should be changed to Lake Mushigan.
Why?
You know very well why, Steve. Pollution, man, pollution. I went there with some friends some years back, and that's all people could say when they tried to swim in it. Mushigan?
How about Lake Erie? That's a great lake.
Believe me, Steve, I've been there. There's nothing eerie about it. It's very normal.
That's not what they mean when they say eerie.
Now, what do they mean? Eerie opposed to nosy? Lake Nosy? Now, that has a certain ring to it. A nose ring!
You're going too fast for me.
Lake Nosy would be more appropriate.
How about Lake Ontario? Now, that's the last of them.
Ontario, Off-tario, In-tario, Out-tario.
That's the name of the lake, Ontario.
On Dasher, on Vixen, on Prancer, Ontario.
You really don't like the Great Lakes, do you?
I like the Great Lakes, that giant fish 40 feet across. I like the Great Leaks, huge vegetables, 100 feet in diameter. I like the Great Lukes, Luke Skywalker, Luke Perry, Cool Hand Luke. I like the Great Licks, Guitar Licks by Eric Clapton and Stevie Ray Vaughan. I like the Great Looks. Michelle Pfeiffer and Sharon Stone have great looks. I love the Great Likes. Romeo really liked Juliet. George Burns really liked Gracie Allen. I love the Great Leaks. The Titanic had a great leak. I love the Great Looks. A bar of soap 50 feet across. I love the Great...
Hold it, hold it, hold it.
What?
That's enough.
It is?
Yes.
All right. Whatever you say.
I remember when I was just a kid, growing up on them back streets in a little Stone Age town. I used to come home at night from my job. I had a job flipping dino burgers. I see the quarry would be just closing down then, and little bird up on the pole be screaming out how the working day's over. And I'd see them dinosaurs, they'd be herding out through the gates, and the workers would be giving their cars a running start with their fat little feet. And so one night, I'm crossing the alley, and I see this one worker coming home to his little stone hut. Yeah, I see him leave his lunch pail by the door. He calls out to his wife, "Hey, well, I'm home, honey." Whoa!
And here's something from my live tape, done in front of a live audience, about Mother Goose.
Hey, I got a great idea.
What?
Let's do some Mother Goose rhymes.
Mother Goose?
Yeah.
Boring!
No, I think some Mother Goose rhymes would be very nice. Which one you want to do?
I don't care.
Let's do Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet.
All right.
Go ahead, here it goes.
Little Miss Muffet sat on a tuffet, eating her curds and whey. Along came a spider and sat down beside her, and she bashed it over the head with her spoon.
Frighten Miss Muffet away.
Well, kids aren't as scared as they used to be.
Stop that. Do Mary had a little lamb.
Oh, that's sweet.
Good.
Mary had a little lamb with some French fries and a salad.
That is tasteless.
No, it was very tasty. I had a bite myself.
Will you do a nice one?
How about Jack Sprat?
Oh, that's nice. Do Jack Sprat.
Here it goes. Jack Sprat could eat no fat, his wife could eat no lean, and so between them both, they became vegetarians.
All right, I'm going to do one, and I don't want you interrupting.
Okay, Steve.
Goes like this. Peas porridge hot, peas porridge cold, peas porridge in the pot, 9 days old.
P-U! That porridge must have stunk!
Nakamura is produced at the Nakamura Studios in Woodstock, New York. The show is written and produced by A. Steve Choney and stevechoney.com. There's lots of videos of Harry and myself, as well as jokes, email address, info about our live stage shows, and more. And if you visit WGXC.org, click on our titles and type in Nakamura, you can listen to previous Nakamura programs. Check it out.
It's time to go.